Watcher, and the warmest of warms to this week's Thrill Enjoyment of Jazz with me, Mike Wynn. Sadly, we lost another two jazz greats last week, and this week's show will be dedicated to these two, altoist Lee Konitz and bassist Jimmy Merritt. Neither became household names, but between them, they were on hundreds and hundreds of albums. In Jimmy's case, always as a sideman, whereas I have Lee on over 100 albums as a leader or co-leader. But hey, listen to this.
Thank you.
If all Jimmy Merritt had ever recorded, then this would be enough. He was in Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers on that seminal album, Moaning. For me, this is the classic Messengers lineup. Lee Morgan trumpet, Benny Golson tenor, and Benny wrote that great song, Blues March. Bobby Timmons piano, Jimmy bass, Blakey drums. Recorded by Rudy Van Gelder, October 58. And we'll hear part of the title song as our outro this week. Jimmy was never up there with the big-name bassists, Blanton, Pettiford, Chambers, Carter, Mingus, Ray Brown, NHOP, but he was there when it mattered. And talking of magical LPs, here's Lee Konitz on Miles Davis's groundbreaking LP, Birth of the Cool. The LP, Birth of the Cool, was recorded in Jan and April 49 and March 50, three separate sessions by the Miles Davis Nonet for Capitol Records, a major development in jazz in the post-bop era, and introducing the so-called cool sound. Only four of the musos were constant over the three recording dates: Miles trumpet, Lee Konitz alto, Jerry Mulligan baritone, and Bill Barber tuba. This album has been written about endlessly, and recently the subject of a documentary film, and the music is still fresh today. Miles had just left Charlie Parker's band in 48, so his choice of alto player had to be in the very top tier, and he picked the then 22-year-old Konitz. On our date, March 50, the other musos were J.J. Johnson, trombone, Gunter Schuller, flugelhorn, Al McKibben, bass, Max Roach, drums. Yes, only eight in the nonet on this recording date. We heard Rocker, written and arranged by Mulligan. Here's Jimmy Merritt in a trio setting. Thank you. The leader here was Conrad Yeatis Sonny Clark, a truly brilliant pianist, always elegant, yet always bluesy. He was only 26 when he recorded this, an Illinois Jacquette song, Black Velvet, that used to be my very fave drink a long, long time ago. Rudy Van Gelder was again at the controls on this November 58 recording. Clark piano, Jimmy Merritt bass, in fact sitting in for Clark's regular bassist, Paul Chambers, and Wes Landers drums. Unfortunately, Sonny Clark was a heavy drug user and died prematurely at the age of just 31. Jimmy, which is spelt J-Y-M-I-E, started on clarinet, but was inspired by Ellington's revolutionary bassist, Jimmy Blanton, to take up the bass, and he flitted between jazz, R&B and blues, mainly jazz, though. He was 93 when he died earlier this month. And here's Lee Konitz with Dave Brubeck. And like Miles Davis working with altoist Charlie Parker, Dave Brubeck also knew a thing or two about alto players. He, of course, had the majestic Paul Desmond in his quartet for years. This Atlantic LP, All the Things We Are, was recorded mainly in October 74, so not long after Duke Ellington's death. And at the end of this recording session, Brubeck suggested the Ellington standard Don't Get Around Much Anymore to finish the album and as a tribute to the Duke. Brubeck and Konitz started to work it out, and the other musos realised they would be intruding, so it became a duet, and it was done in a single take. Lee Konitz, who died a week ago at 92, initially followed Bird to some extent. Mind you, all other alto players did that. But Lee was always different to Bird, and he moved into the so-called cool camp rather than bebop and its derivatives. In fact, he was a pioneer of the cool school. He'd been on Miles Davis's Birth of the Cool LP, after all, as we well know. Konitz, whose parents were immigrants from Austria, also started his musical career on clarinet, having been inspired by Benny Goodman when he, Lee, was 11. His career trajectory was Claude Thornhill Big Band, Stan Kenton Orchestra, where his style was rather at odds with their disciplined approach, Lenny Tristano and then Miles, as we know, before going solo. Here's Jimmy Merritt on another major LP. Wayne Shorter's LP Waning Moments was recorded in Chicago in early 62. I took this song from a CD reissue that has an alternate take of each of the eight original songs. And we've just heard the alternate of Devil's Island, a Wayne Shorter compo. Freddie Hubbard, trumpet, Eddie Higgins, piano, Jimmy Merritt, bass, and Marshall Thompson, drums. It's worth pointing out, I think it is, that Wayne Shorter played in Miles Davis's second great quintet, 64 to 70, and was also in Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers, 59 to 63, thereby overlapping with Jimmy for three of those years. Jimmy's stint with the Messengers was 58 to 62. Here's Lee Konitz and his Brazilian band. Was Louis Bonfa's Manhard de Carnaval This Music Masters album is called Brazilian Rhapsody. And yes, the Brazilian band does have a good Brazilian contingent, recorded in New York, Jan 95. Leon Alto, soprano on a couple of the songs. Romero Lubambo, acoustic guitar. And I'm not sure I heard anyone else, so I'll stop there. Lee made a habit of recording in duos, with piano, with guitar, with drums, with fellow saxophonists, with trumpet. He even made a solo LP called Lone Lee. Solo, lonely, get it? I divert to tell you that puns like lonely were not rare. There was also Subconsciously, Lee-wise, and even Peggy Lee. No, I won't play you anything from Lonely, as his solo improvs were lengthy. One per side of the LP, 20 mins or so. Here's Jimmy with Chet Baker. And that's from a Copix LP with a rather irritating title of The Most Important Jazz Album of 64-65. No, not even of a single year, but The Most Important Jazz LP of two whole years. Yes, it was good, but not quite the most important. Chet Baker on flugelhorn throughout is the leader, as you'd expect. Phil Urso, tenor here, clarinet, though, at times. Hal Galper, piano, Jimmy Merrick getting a good solo slot there on bass, and Charlie Rice, drums. The song was Duke Jordan's Flight to Jordan, recorded in New York in June 64. Search as I have, I can't find a single recording by Jimmy as a leader, although in 62 he did form a group called the Forerunners in his native Philadelphia, and they continued, sporadically certainly, for the rest of Jimmy's life, but I can't find a recording by them anywhere. Back to Lee Konitz. from an Atlantic album called Inside Hi-Fi. Rudy Van Gelder back in the control booth on this New York September-October 56 recording session, and it's probably the perfect example of this so-called cool school of jazz. Very unusually, in fact, this is the very first time on record, but on half of the songs on this LP, Lee plays tenor. He said he was enjoying playing it so much that if he played tenor anymore, he would never leave it. That was Star Eyes. Sal Mosca piano, the Englishman Peter Ind bass, and Dick Scott drums. With the advent of jazz, rock and fusion and electronics, of course, Lee went out of fashion towards the end of the 60s and throughout the 70s. But he remained true to his values, wanting to improvise and play original music in an understated way. He was somewhat of an introvert himself. And yes, jazz came back to him in the 1980s, and he carried on playing into his 90s. Here's Jimmy Merritt backing trombonist Curtis Fuller.
Thank you.
Question: why aren't there more jazz interpretations of songs from The King and I? Don't know is the answer. But here, a great version of Hello Young Lovers and a tour de force by trombonist and leader Curtis Fuller on this epic LP called South American Cooking and recorded in South America. Yes, yes indeed, but the location is as vague as that. Tenor giant Zoot Sims is also on this LP, but not on our song, as you heard. Tommy Flanagan, piano, Jimmy Merritt, bass, Dave Bailey, drums. Here's one of Lee Konitz's most successful albums. This Columbia album is entitled Dig Dug Dog. The song, a Konitz original, is called Mr. 88, named in honour of an executive producer at Sony Music, Yasuhachi Ito. Recorded in Tokyo, March 97, with Lauren DeWilde piano, Ira Coleman bass, Dion Parson drums. Drummer Max Roach recorded a much-acclaimed Atlantic LP called Drums Unlimited, a lot of it drum solos, but here he is on a Jimmy Merritt compo called Nomo. But I've had to edit it a bit, as it's very long. Very crackly worn LP, though, I'm afraid. Yes, and apologies. A very crackly old LP indeed. Jimmy Merritt's compo Nomo, apparently an African word for the power of speech. Only had time for a fraction of it, sadly, but mustn't be greedy. Jimmy bass, Max drums, plus this week's special guest, Freddie Hubbard trumpet, James Spaulding on alto, and Ronnie Matthews piano, recorded in New York, October 65. A final word from Lee Konitz, and it's from that same Japanese album as Mr. 88. It's called Dug, Dug as in D-U-G, named after a Tokyo jazz club where the band had just performed for six consecutive nights. It's the only example I know of Lee singing, or scatting, to be more accurate. And all we can do now is thank Lee Konitz and Jimmy Merritt for a lifetime of fabulous music. Thanks also to you for listening. Changed our theme outro for this week to feature Jimmy again on one of jazz's true classics. Same lineup as the opening song, Blues March. This is the title song, of course, Moaning. And I also hope you can rejoin me, Mike Wynn, next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care. Be well.